WCLK's The Local Take with Kiplin Primus is made possible in part by support from the Living Legends Foundation Incorporated, a nonprofit organization dedicated to preserving the rich legacy of Black music and those who work behind the scenes to bring it to the world. Join Kiplin right now as she talks with leaders, activists, and everyday people making a difference in the Atlanta community.
Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take, and this week we're talking Elevate Atlanta 2021. This is a unique art festival for up-and-coming artists in our community. Camille Russell Love, the Executive Director of Cultural Affairs for the City of Atlanta, joins us to share a few highlights. Ms. Love, welcome to The Local Take.
Thank you. How are you this morning?
I'm feeling great. And as I mentioned, we've talked with two of the artists that are participating in this year's festival. Can you tell us, what does Elevate Atlanta mean to the artistic community in our city?
Well, Elevate Atlanta has been expanded this year. It is usually focused on one community over a period of 7 to 10 days. This year, Elevate Atlanta is going to focus on 8 communities citywide over 8 weekends in the months of September and October. And so in order for us to cover 8 neighborhoods and to cover citywide, we're going to have to engage a lot of artists in the city of Atlanta. And so over that period of time, you're going to see projects from over 70 artists in Atlanta who will have an opportunity to share their gifts with the residents of Atlanta.
And what are a few of the artistic highlights? And I know this year's festival includes everything from muralists to a walking tour. If you could only do one thing, what would you tell our listeners to do?
Well, I couldn't tell your listeners to just do one thing. You know, but there are going to be activations in our city parks. One will be at the new Westside Park. Another will be at Gordon White Park, at the new Rodney Cook Park. And so I would just suggest that if you live in those communities, or if you've not even visited those communities, that you take this occasion of Elevate to actually go and participate in one of these events that are going to be in our city parks. We're also going to be activating at Underground. We're going to be activating at the Met, the artistic compound over in the West End. We'll also be at Fort McPherson. You know, and so there's so many opportunities for you to see and experience great art that I really can't just focus on one.
And now, why was it important this year for the expansion to include the 8 neighborhoods and every weekend in September and October?
Well, we're coming out of one of the most unusual time periods in our history. You know, our whole country has been shut down. And as a result, these artists have not had an opportunity to present their art and their craft in any way. And so we felt that it was so important to provide them with an opportunity, to provide them with funding, to provide them with venues, and to allow people to come outside and enjoy art and culture in the communities where they live and where they work. So that was the primary reason why we expanded from just doing one neighborhood to doing a festival that was citywide. Atlanta has so much to offer, and there are artist residents in all of these communities, and we want to, you know, shine a spotlight on them and shine a spotlight on these communities.
And as you mentioned, it's every weekend between now and the end of October. So how can our listeners find out more about each of those activities that's going on?
We have a website, ElevateATLArts.com. So you can go there and see what's going on. We'll also be sending out a weekly news blast And so if you go to our website and you register for our, to be part of our communications, then we will weekly let you know what's going on. But the best way is to just go to our website and see what's happening.
Now, how can we keep up with the Mayor's Office of Cultural Affairs? You are definitely to be congratulated on the successful jazz festival that we just had Labor Day weekend. How can we keep up with what's coming next?
We have a website, ocaatlanta.com, and you know that is where we're posting what we're doing. We also have a monthly newsletter that we send out. And so if you go to our website and sign on to be part of our newsletter distribution list, that is the other way that you can find out what's going on in the city of Atlanta, not just what we're doing, but also what is happening culturally in the city. So we're trying to get the word out. We want Atlanta to maintain its international status as a culturally active, diverse city. And we're just happy that you've given us this opportunity today to just share what we're doing.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share this information with us. Elevate Atlanta 2021 is taking place from this weekend until October 31st, and it's an opportunity to see and share art in your own neighborhood. So, Camille Russell Love, thank you so much for what you're doing for our city.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share with your listeners.
Thank you. Take care. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take, and we've been speaking with Camille Love, the Executive Director of Cultural Affairs for the City of Atlanta, about Elevate Atlanta. Next, we'll speak with artists Zachary Todd and Jessica Blinkhorn. Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take. And this week, we're talking Elevate Atlanta, an arts festival that is dedicated to our community's up-and-coming artists. This unique festival focuses on independent artists and the organizations that support them. Elevate Atlanta allows us to engage with artists and their work right in our own neighborhoods. Running from September 10th through the 26th in multiple locations, this festival provides something for everyone, including outdoor murals, quilting as art, walking tours, and more. This morning, we're speaking with two of the artists who are participating. First, we're speaking with Zachary Todd. Todd is a mixed media artist with a background in dance. Zachary Todd, welcome to The Local Take.
Good morning, Kiplin. Thank you for having me.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about your background in dance and what drew you initially to that art form?
Yes. So I'm originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I started dancing as a student at Milwaukee High School of the Arts. I was probably about 17 when I took my first dance class, and I absolutely just fell in love with it. And from there on, I went on to train kind of intensively. I danced for a few companies, and in the last 10 years or so since I've been in Atlanta, my main focus has been dance education as an instructor. My goal basically is to create platforms for myself and other creatives to create and display their works.
Now, you incorporate dance into mixed media art. It includes movement, and you do film. How did that come about?
To be honest, film is something I've always been interested in, very curious about as well. And it came about primarily due to the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. And when a lot of theaters shut down and a lot of dance studios were not allowed to open, I wanted to just come up with a different medium that I could continue to create in. So film became a natural kind of avenue for me to be able to explore. And the time that we had on our hands actually worked in our favor because we were able to do a lot of things trial and error. So I kind of stumbled upon film accidentally, to be quite honest, but it's been a process that I really enjoy and I really want to continue to kind of grow in as well.
And now some people would say that those mediums, you know, don't necessarily merge together. Do you mm-hmm. like which one better? Do you like dance better? Do you like film better? Or is the mix where the magic happens for you?
To be honest, I think the mix is where the magic happens. Like all things I do, dance is always incorporated. And I think there is so much beauty in seeing dance on stage and at a live performance. But then I think there are so many other things that you can do when you're working with film and putting dance on film. So I think it definitely is a mixture of the both. But film is a very great avenue for dance as well. There's a lot of things that you can't necessarily do on a theater stage that you can do with kind of the magic of movies, so to speak.
Now, there are young folks who might be listening, maybe already have started, you know, a career path towards art. But so often people tell them, you know, you better get something else. You got to have something else. You can't make it as an artist. What do you want to say to those folks?
To be honest, I think anyone who is an artist who is very passionate about what they do, I think they've been told that at some point in their lives. And specifically, I can speak for myself with my students. I like to instill in them that you can always do whatever it is that your heart desires. So if you really want to dance, go for it, because whether we like it or not, there is a little bit of an expiration date on our bodies as a dancer. So I'm always encouraging them, like, if dance is something that you really want to go for, go for it. And if you also want to go into school to be a nurse or to be a doctor or a lawyer, like, that's a possibility as well. But I love to tell people to keep all their options open, and it's never too late to try anything. And sometimes you just got to jump off the bridge and go for it. So I'm just always encouraging people to go after what they really love.
And now, do you have any anecdotes about some of your students who you are working with to find their voice in art?
So, yeah, with a lot of my students, I had the pleasure specifically, I've worked at the same studio, which is Eagles Landing Dance Center in Stockbridge, Georgia. And Vanessa, who is an amazing person, she has given me the opportunity to work there for over 10 years. So luckily for me, I've had a chance to see some of my students grow from 8 or 9 years old. And now some of them are now going off to college. So one thing I'm always trying to instill in them is just to be persistent. And if it's something you really want, don't give up on it, no matter what. But I also instill in my students that hard work is key. So you can go a million places, but you have to put in the work to make sure that, you know, all of the greatness comes back to you. It will not come easy. So I guess that's a little anecdote I like to leave with them, so to speak.
Well, I like that. Do what your heart desires, but be persistent. So, Zachary, how do we keep up with you so that we know what's going on?
Of course. So primarily all of my work, all of the things that I'm doing, upcoming projects, I like to keep them all right on my Instagram page. And I can be found on Instagram by either searching for Zachary Todd, or my hashtag is ZCHRYTODD.
Zachary Todd, I want to thank you so much for what you're doing, and good luck with your participation in Elevate Atlanta.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
This is The Local Take, and we just spoke with Zachary Todd, one of the artists for Elevate Atlanta. His event will take place on October 29th and 30th on the East Side Neighborhood event. Good morning, good people. This morning, we are talking Elevate Atlanta, the arts festival dedicated to up-and-coming artists in our community. We just spoke with Zachary Todd, and now we're speaking with Jessica Blinkhorn. Blinkhorn uses art to educate about the lives of folks who access the world despite disabilities. Blinkhorn, Jessica Blinkhorn, welcome to The Local Take.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about your background and why you chose performing and performance art to actually tell your story.
Yes, actually, I'm from Marietta, which is just north of the metropolitan area. I grew up with a sister and a brother who were also disabled. My mother is an educator, and my father is a musician. I actually get my technical abilities from my mother. She's a beautiful painter. She never pursued that career. Instead, she's an educator. And I actually am classically trained. I have both my bachelor's and my master's. My bachelor's is from Kennesaw State University, and my master's is from Georgia State University. So traditionally, I started off with drawing and moved on to painting and then other avenues of being creative. In grad school, my mentor, Craig Dongowski, who is a tenure professor at Georgia State, he told me that I had a very shamanic presence and that I needed to start telling my story. So I started telling my story through my visual works first. Performance came an extension in which I was able to create. I do have spinal muscular atrophy type 2. And what that is it's a degenerative muscle disease. And it does escalate as I age. The severity becomes more as I age. Because of, you know, the nature of my disease, I decided to take on performance as a way to create these visual narratives through the words that I say, the movements I make, and the surrogates I use during performance.
Your visual narratives are very, very strong, and you put yourself, you know, out there in the public. How does the overall public, that just ordinary people, receive your art? Do they engage with you? You know, do they just keep walking? What is that like, putting yourself so out there in the public?
Well, the way I look at it is I was born to stand out. I mean, let's face it, I do have a $21,000 accessory attached to my body. And, you know, I'm not the average, you know, 42-year-old female walking around. People naturally look at me because I'm disabled, and that's something that anyone with a disability faces. I've decided to take that gaze, the idea of the spectacle, and make it spectacular and control that gaze. When I have performances, there is this unspoken expectation to interact with me. People can either choose to interact with me or choose not to. If they choose to, then they're choosing to self-educate through the information that I'm giving them visually. If they choose not to, well, then they have to ask themselves, what was it about that situation, that individual, that caused me to turn away? A lot of the time, people find out a lot more about themselves when engaging with me in my performance as much as they would not engaging.
So now, what do you say to people who think that you're using art the wrong way? You know, they don't think that you should use art as protest. You know, write a letter to the editor. Don't put this in front of me. What do you say, and how do you feel about that?
Well, I think that art is subjective, and I think that artists create these visual narratives, these performative narratives. It's going to be accepted as one way by one person and another way by another person. I try to keep my performance work accessible and socially engaging, and the way I do that is by hiding the actual narrative in the performance. It's something that's not in your face necessarily, so people don't find it as abrasive. You know, I guess the easiest way to answer that is I don't really care. I'm sorry. I know that sounds insensitive, but my work is my work, and my work speaks for an entire community and demographic that has gone unheard from for far too long. There have been people, you know, in the history of individuals with disabilities who have spoken up, who have made impactful movements happen, changes happen. I think it's time now that we have another uprising of our voice where we can't really care about how people accept it. We just have to say it. But I also think as creatives and as advocates and as you want to call people protesters, I think that we're also given the opportunity to really be considerate about how we deliver those narratives so that they do maintain accessible to the viewers and the passerby.
So for other people living with disabilities who may have those very high price accessories on their body, what do you want them to know about using their voice and advocating not just for themselves, but as you said, this community that should uprise about the challenges that they face?
Can I answer your question with a story?
Yes.
So right now I am involved in trying to fight for nursing care. I receive 9 hours of nursing care a day. I applied for 14 hours. I was rejected. There are 24 hours in a day. So there's a large amount of the day where I have no one there to help me eat, no one there to help me drink, no one to help me cook or anything like that. But I receive 9 hours a day. And this is something I'm fighting to change because the rules that are in place to decide who gets what hours are totally arbitrary, in my opinion. And if you look at the people that I know, and that I know receive the care or the type of grant that pays for their care, you can see across the board how everyone is different. However, the reasons why they receive different care make no sense because we all have the same need. You know, I am a white cisgendered female in East Atlanta. I get 9 hours. And I was talking to a friend of mine trying to get his feedback. And he said to me, because I told him, I was like, we've got to use our voices. We've got to make a stand. We've got to fight so that our needs are met, because they're still, at the end of the day, our needs. And it's what we need for our independence. And my friend, who has my same disability, who is vented, he said to me, Jessica, I'm a Black man on the west side of Atlanta, and I'm afraid if I speak up, they'll take what I have. And hearing that broke my heart. It broke my heart that individuals with disabilities, and especially individuals with disabilities from specific communities in our city, feel that they can't voice their very relevant needs is devastating. It's devastating. And what it says to me, what it signals to me, is that they're trying to keep us indoors. They don't want our stories to be heard. They only want to celebrate us when it can be inspiring to those not living with a disability. But they don't want to share our challenges, because that means they're going to have to hold themselves accountable. They're going to have to face the ugly truth that people are different. But ultimately, we all need the same things in life. We all desire the same out of life.
That is heartbreaking to know that people are afraid to advocate for themselves because they think they will lose what they have. That is unconscionable.
Even I was about to say, this is actually a really good segue into what the mural that I was approved for through Elevate will be about.
Well, I am glad that you are advocating for your community. Jessica, how can we keep up with you and what you are doing beyond Elevate Atlanta?
Well, if you wouldn't mind, I would like to kind of tell you a little bit about what I am doing with Elevate Atlanta.
Please do.
I'm actually creating the first ever disabled and aging community-based mural in the city of Atlanta. The mural will house 7 people from the city of Atlanta, all from different age groups, different ethnic demographics, different financial demographics, all disabled. The 7 people represent the LGBTQ plus community as well, because I do feel that the LGBTQ plus disabled and aging communities are most under observed and represented communities in our country. Anyway, there will be a grouping of individuals in a circular format. And there will be words that create this circle, this emblem, above it will say, we are here to thrive. And at the bottom, it will say, not just survive. Because individuals with disability, right now, we're surviving. This pandemic has been horrible for our community. We've had to stay inside, some of us, for 16, 17 months. We've had to fire caregivers because they don't make it regulation to have vaccinations or even wear a mask sometimes. You know, we've had to endure a lot during this pandemic, and we're just surviving. But now, more than ever, it's our time to thrive. We need our community to represent us, to be a voice, to be an ally, to open up the door of opportunity for a community that has been shut out and access has been limited for far too long. If people want to follow my work, you can Google me, but I do have a website. I think it's jeblinkwan@wixsites.com.
We'll link to your website in our online post.
Oh, thank you, because I don't have it strictly memorized. And I'm also on Instagram, and my Instagram is willie_and_artist. It is kind of a tongue-in-cheek pun, as in I'm Willie, an artist, as in wheelchair, Willie_and_artist.
Willie, an artist. Jessica Blinkhorn, thank you so much for what you're doing, and thanks even more for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Oh, thank you for giving me a vehicle in which to relate the story of my community and the opportunity through Elevate Atlanta. I am beyond excited to be working with the city and using my students that I've taught in the past to help me accomplish this tribute to my community. And thank you for having me once again.
We appreciate you. Take care.
You as well.
This is The Local Take, and we just finished speaking with Jessica Blinkhorn, who is part of Elevate Atlanta Art Festival. Her event will take place on October 22nd through October 24th, Elevate Atlanta Southeast. For more information, please visit the Elevate Atlanta website at elevateatlart.com.
WCLK's The Local Take with Kiplin Primus is made possible in part by support from the Living Legends Foundation, Incorporated, a nonprofit organization dedicated to preserving the rich legacy of Black music and those who work behind the scenes to bring it to the world. The Local Take is produced by Kiplin Primus, Jami Wellman, and Rob Maynard for WCLK. Thanks to Mark Angel for our Local Take original music. You can listen to this program and past programs on demand at WCLK.com or via the WCLK app. If you have comments about today's program or suggestions for future programs, you can leave a voicemail at 404-880-6211 or email KiplinPrimus@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to The Local Take, community engagement from Jazz 91.9 WCLK.